Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who will increase, who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, this morning we come before you with gratitude that we have this opportunity to worship together in freedom. And we pray, Lord, that you will inspire us with your Spirit. Help us to hear the word that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. This is the account of the blind beggar Bartimaeus. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Well, isn't it amazing that over 2,000 years later, we are learning something of great value from a blind beggar named Bartimaeus? Frankly, what we are learning is something about faith, a faith that is professed by many, but is exercised by many less. You may have heard me say before that it's easy to say that we have faith if we put nothing at risk. It's easy to say that we have faith if we do not have to rely on God's grace and faithfulness to see us through a particular time in our life. It's easy to say we have faith when we are healthy, when we have enough food to eat, when we have a roof over our heads, and when we have money in the bank. But it is not so easy to say we have faith When God seems to be silent, or when our prayers are not being answered according to our plan or our timeline. We do know from Scripture that this blind man named Bartimaeus was there for a specific purpose and for his encounter with Jesus. We can assume that he is an adult, someone who has been blind and begging for quite some time. He certainly is not shy. He does not cower when the crowd tells him to be quiet. Rather, he gets louder. He is determined to get Jesus' attention. Perhaps he's feeling desperate. This may be his only chance to get the attention of someone he has heard of, someone who maybe, just maybe, can give him his sight. Someone he calls the Son of David. You see, there is an expectation at that time that the Messiah will arrive as someone to take over the throne of David as king of Israel and to restore Israel to its place of political prominence. So Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, was partially right. He had somehow concluded that Jesus was the Messiah. But he was mistaken, as was most of the nation of Israel, about what the Messiah's mission would be. Jesus' mission as the Messiah was to be much greater than sitting on the ancestral throne of David. Jesus as the Messiah was not concerned about bringing back Israel into political prominence, but rather he was coming to redeem Israel and the people of all nations back into the right relationship with God that would change the world for eternity. Even though he did not have Jesus' identity entirely correct, I say hear for the blind man who had faith that Jesus was a man of David's lineage and who had the power to heal the man's blindness. In calling Jesus the Son of David, Bartimaeus misses the point of his ultimate identity, which would be revealed a short time later in Jerusalem. It would be there, upon the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord, that the world would call him by his true title, the Son of God. And that is the Messiah that we know today. In our scene from Scripture this morning, Jesus is passing through Jericho. It says that his disciples and a large crowd were with him. For Jesus, the end of the road was not far away. Jericho is only about 15 miles from Jerusalem, and Jesus was on his way to the Passover. When a distinguished rabbi or teacher was on such a journey, it was the custom that he was surrounded by a crowd of people who listened to him teach as he walked. It was the law that every male Jew over 12 years of age who lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem must attend the Passover. Now, this was practically impossible that such a law could be fulfilled. And so those who were unable to go would traditionally line the streets to greet the Passover pilgrims who were on their way. In this particular scene, the crowds appear to be larger than usual. There were many who were eager and curious to catch a glimpse of this brash young itinerant rabbi from Galilee, whose reputation preceded him. He had dared to challenge the orthodox religious leaders of the day, and the word was spreading. It was here then, in this crowd of people, and in this confusing mass of moving bodies, that we hear the voice of Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many in the crowd were annoyed by him, and they told him to be quiet. Why would Jesus want to be bothered by a blind beggar who clearly was not important in that society and who was not a part of the throng on the way to the Passover? Jesus was surrounded by his disciples in a crowd that wanted to hear him teach. But Bartimaeus would not be dissuaded. No one was going to take from him his chance to escape from this world of darkness. He had heard about this man, Jesus, who challenged the powerful. He suspected he was more than just your ordinary rabbi, and it was worth a shot. Bartimaeus shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Jesus was responding to this man's faith. And there's quite an analogy here. It would be easy to read through this passage, seeing it merely as a story about Jesus' compassion on a character named Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus is showing us something about faith that we should all ponder from time to time. First, there is the sheer persistence. He wanted to come face to face with Jesus. He was utterly determined to meet the one person whom he longed to confront with his blindness. He had hope that Jesus was the answer that he had been longing for his whole life. Second, his response to the call of Jesus was immediate and eager. He didn't wait for Jesus to walk to him. He didn't have second thoughts or wonder what the crowd might think of him. He wasn't afraid to face Jesus in public and to state his faithful desire in public. He recognized that this was his opportunity to meet Jesus, maybe his only opportunity, and he wasn't going to put it off until tomorrow. And next, he knew precisely what he wanted to ask Jesus for. He wanted to be able to see. It didn't take any deep soul-searching and jockeying for the right way to ask him. He asked specifically for his sight in the most simple and humble of terms. "Rabbi, I want to see." And fourth, even though Bartimaeus did not have Jesus' identity entirely correct, he had faith. He didn't need to understand theologically. He didn't have to spend hours and hours in study or prayer before he was suitable and worthy to ask Jesus for something. His heart told him that Jesus was special, and he took it on faith that Jesus could help him. Jesus did not expect Bartimaeus to fully understand who he was. He knew that there was no way that could happen. But Jesus was so impressed by his faith that he heard Bartimaeus' cries for help through the sounds of the crowd. And finally, in the end, there is a precious example laid down by Bartimaeus. He may have been a beggar by the wayside, but he was a man of gratitude. Having received his sight, it says he followed Jesus. He did not selfishly go on his way once his needs were met. He started with a need that only Jesus could fulfill. And he was so grateful for the mercy and compassion that Jesus had shown that he became a loyal follower of the one who he had called to meet face to face. It is a perfect summary of the stages of faith and discipleship. Now, on a personal note, as I read this scripture passage, I could not help but think about a special woman who touched my heart several years ago. Some of you have heard me speak of her before, but her story so perfectly fits into this scripture passage. Some of you know that I served for a time before, while I was still in seminary, actually, as a chaplain at the hospice of St. John in Denver. It was a residential hospice facility, and it was a special honor to touch the lives of some very special people. But one day, as I was walking into the hospice on a Saturday morning, I heard the most beautiful piano music coming from the lobby. Someone was playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and it was being played with such feeling and such power. The lobby was beginning to fill with other patients and nurses and the staff. They were all being drawn as they heard Somewhere Over the Rainbow being played so beautifully. And as I looked, there at the piano sat a woman dressed in hospital garb. She was obviously a patient whom I had not yet met. I inquired of a nearby nurse, and I was told that this was Mary, who had been admitted to the hospice in the last few days, and she had only a few months to live. And then turning back to the music, the nurse said, "Isn't it incredible? Mary's blind." I immediately wanted to know Mary. She was inspiring me already, and I hadn't even met her. I learned that she was blind since birth, and the thought that came to me was that Mary was playing with such feeling about a rainbow that she had never seen. Well, I came to know Mary quickly. She was a gracious and welcoming woman who made friends easily with her cheerfulness and her smile. And I also learned that Mary was a woman of immense faith. Her life had been difficult in many ways, but she believed in a loving, compassionate, and risen Christ, whom she also hadn't seen, but she knew him all the same. Mary's life story would be one of sadness and heartbreak for most of us, but she wouldn't allow it to be. Finding herself in an abusive marriage, one that was supposed to provide her with security, Mary had the courage to leave, even though she had no idea what the future would hold or how she would survive. It was in a blind support group that Mary met Mike, and the two of them fell in love and created a beautiful marriage centered in their mutual faith in Jesus Christ, in trust and in encouragement for one another. Mike was at Mary's bedside every day, caring for her as only Mike could do. Sometimes I would go to the door of the room and listen for just a moment to be inspired by their joyful banter. And then I would announce my presence, and they would always say the same thing. "Good morning, Pastor Bob." I always knew it was going to be a good morning. I became close to both of them. We laughed together, we prayed together, and yes, we shed tears together as we discussed what life would be like for Mike once Mary was gone. But these two inspiring people had fallen in love and developed a beautiful and supportive marriage, even though they had never seen each other through their eyes. Their love was from the heart. And just like Mary could know the beauty of a rainbow better than many of the rest of us, she also knew love in its purest form. Her love for Mike and her love for her Savior, they both were pure. She taught me about seeing by faith, because it was the only way that she knew. So whether it is Bartimaeus in Jericho shouting for Jesus' attention because his faith gave him hope to see, or whether it is Mary in a hospice whose faith in a risen Lord gave her the ability to see beauty and to feel love, or whether it is you and me who have been blessed to witness another sunrise and to come together to worship freely and publicly. Jesus Christ has touched our lives by his amazing grace. Let us be grateful. Let us be loyal. And first and foremost, let us allow ourselves to see by faith the path that Jesus has laid out for each of us. It is paved with the purest form of love that we will ever know. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are inspired by the story of Bartimaeus and by stories that many of us have experienced of seeing your faith in action in our own lives. We are inspired by those around us who exemplify the greatest and the most pure forms of love for one another. We thank you, Lord, for inspiring us with these words. We pray that we will always remember that it is by faith, not only are we saved, but we are also inspired to go out into the world and to change the world and to touch the lives of those around us. Lord, this morning we lift up to you those who are in need of your presence and your care, those who need to feel your love in a special way. We do lift up to you little Elijah as he undergoes chemotherapy and radiation treatment. We just pray that he will feel your presence and that he will experience the joy that a 3-year-old boy should experience. Lord, we lift up to you Les Peters as he is in a new environment and perhaps is confused by all of the unfamiliar surroundings. We just pray that he will feel your presence and that you will give him peace. We lift up Katie Roop as she recovers from a liver transplant. We pray for her complete recovery. We lift up Donna Slusher, also who is in need of your complete healing as she is now in rehab. We thank you, Lord, for the progress, the significant progress that we see. And Lord, we also lift up David Zitta, who needs to feel your presence and needs your peace. And we pray, Lord, for the guidance of those who now are given the responsibility to look after him and to care for him. Lord, all of this we lift to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's given us the opportunity to pray and to ask for guidance. So we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us all to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.